The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Holy Gospel, we see Jesus enter a synagogue in Capernaum, and after this, he enters the house of Simon. In these events, we have a type and a foreshadowing of our Lord's work in our midst today. He enters our little sanctuary here in Capistrano Beach, and he enters our homes. In the synagogue, he cast out a demon. And in the house, he cast out sickness. There would be no demons to trouble us and no sickness to oppress us if not for sin. Sin has brought our race under the rule of Satan and under the rule of death. A demon is but an emissary of Satan, just as sickness is an emissary of death. When Jesus casts out the demon and heals the fever, he is showing that he has authority and power over our oppressors, over things that we ourselves are powerless against. He has come to break Satan's rule, and he has come to put death to death. And so he comes also to take away our sin and the sins of the whole world by bearing them on his cross. When our Lord Jesus came to the synagogue in Capernaum and to the house of Simon, he came in humility. All his authority and power were cloaked and hidden, but authority and power he had. So too, he comes into this sanctuary and into our homes with his authority and his power hidden, cloaked in humility. So much so that at times we might even doubt his presence or forget who he really is. The prophet Isaiah was once given a vision of God and a glimpse into the liturgy of heaven. The worship of heaven is liturgical. Isaiah saw immense otherworldly creatures, angels, but not the kind you'd put on a Christmas tree, huge, six-winged creatures standing on either side of the throne of God. God so vast himself that just the very bottom of his robe filled the entire temple. The earth, the entire cosmos, is merely his footstool. Back and forth these seraphim sang, antiphonally, so that the temple was always and constantly filled with the praises of Almighty God. Their voices so powerful and mighty that as they spoke, they shook the very foundations of the temple, singing, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So holy is our God that these immense six-winged seraphim do not dare even look at our God. With two of their wings, they hide their face from his glory. With two, they fly. And with two, they cover their feet in humility before the holiest of all. Though they are sinless, though they are so vastly greater than we are, look how they worship in complete reverence and awe. If only we Christians, maybe particularly we American Christians, would pay attention to the seraphim. All irreverence in worship and claptrap worship and man-centered, entertainment-driven worship would end in the blink of an eye. If the sinless seraphim veil their eyes, of what mind should we poor sinners be when we call upon the name of the Holy Trinity? Sin makes us forget who God is. God's people had lost their sense of awe, their sense of reverence. They had forgotten who their God really was. The vision that God gave to Isaiah reminded them. In fact, this vision had such a profound impact on the Hebrew people that they took this song that the seraphim were singing and made it a part of their own liturgy and worship so that they would not forget who their God really is. Liturgical scholars tell us that this song of the seraphim was in use in the temple and in the synagogue during the time of Jesus, when Jesus went to that synagogue in Capernaum. It's quite possible that he sang it. The early church kept this song in its liturgies. In fact, we too have kept it, and we know it today as the Sanctus. In just a few moments, before Holy Communion, we'll sing it. Holy, holy, holy. As we stand before this altar, we are standing before the triune God, the Lord of hosts, just as Isaiah did. And what did Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. So too, before God, we confess. Not only do we have unclean lips that lie and gossip and curse, but unclean thoughts, greed and hatred and lust, and unclean deeds, things that if made public would make each person here bow his head in shame. But that all-powerful being whom Isaiah saw enthroned between the seraphim took upon himself our flesh. And he who knew no sin became our sin. And so it is that your unclean words Jesus takes upon his own lips, and therefore he is struck. Your unclean deeds Jesus takes into his own flesh, and therefore he is scourged. Your unclean thoughts Jesus takes as his own, and therefore he is crowned with thorns. Jesus bears your sins, the scriptures say, in his body on the cross. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace with God. Only by becoming your sin could he make you righteous before God. And that is what he's done. In fact, so great is his love for you that if he had to do it all over again, but this time only for you, he would. When Isaiah confessed his sins to the Lord, one of those seraphim flew to the altar that was billowing up with incense smoke. And from the altar he took with tongs a burning coal, and he flew over to Isaiah and touched it to his lips. But instead of hearing Isaiah crying out in pain, we hear the angels say, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." It's true enough, when we confess our sins to the Lord, there's no great big seraphim flying toward us with a burning coal. We have something far greater. The Son of God himself, who takes from the altar not a coal, but his own flesh and his own blood. And putting them to your lips, he says, for you for the forgiveness of your sins. His own body and his own blood he touches to your lips, cleansing you with the everlasting sacrifice. Cleansing not just your lips, but your body, your mind, your soul, all of you. Behold, his body and his blood have touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. This is what we Lutherans mean when we say divine service. The divine one comes to serve you, to cleanse you from your sin, to feed you with the bread of immortality, to destroy the power of Satan. He is cloaked in humility, and yet by faith you know who he really is. We who are unclean, he makes clean. We who are dead in our trespasses, he makes alive. We who are under the power of Satan, he sets free. Now and for all eternity. And therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify his glorious name. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the offertory.
Please be seated for the offering.